subdivision rezoning at 373, 359, and 357 River Avenue under file DASZ 2-2014 in accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedure Bylaw. This is a combined hearing, and the following item will also be heard at the same time. Item 4 is a variance at 373, 359, and 357 River Avenue under file DAV 1076-22 of 2014-D.
I'd like to ask the staff to do a little introduction on this one as well, please.
All right, go ahead. They're going to ask. So we're going to ask the administration, who's over in the gallery, who's can't hear. Yeah. We'll have the administration just do a quick overview, and then we'll ask the applicant to come on up, who's already getting comfy.
Go ahead. The applicant's proposing to rezone this site to RMFL, multifamily large, and the city is supporting the application subject to a series of conditions. The conditions that I'll just flag for your attention, and this would be conditions through a zoning agreement, would be that plan approval will come back to City Center Community Committee and the Director of Planning prior to the issue of building permits. That the development be in substantial conformance with the original drawings received for the DAV dated March 11th, which includes an enclosed glazed staircase on River Avenue and an enclosed glazed lobby on River Avenue. That the interior of the building shall be located, that the entrance to the building shall be located at grade on River, and that the maximum height shall be 5 stories and 60 feet. And I flag those for your attention because the most recent illustration received was a bit of a change from the original drawings that were received, which the Public Service had some concern on. So our expectation is that through the plan approval process, we'll be able to resolve some of those design issues to bring them into compliance with the character guidelines and character policies in the neighborhood secondary plan.
The wording in the recommendation specifically refers to those drawings, so the expectation is that they will be in substantial conformity to what was originally put forward?
That's correct.
Is what you're saying? Okay. Thank you.
Good. Anything else? No, ready to go? Okay. Mr. Winthrop, maybe just name address?
Name, just John Winthrop, 301 139 Roslyn Road.
Welcome.
Oh, and George, give your name.
George Sibineau, Sibineau Architects Limited, 420 Stratbrook Avenue.
And we appreciate the planner providing a summary. I don't believe there's anybody in opposition tonight, so we'll go do a quick overview of the project, but we'll get to the issue that we feel that needs to be resolved here that George will get into is about this staircase. We submitted plans that illustrated something the Public Service is wanting. We disagree. We've had many agreements and discussions with them, but this is the one point of issue that we'd like to have settled here tonight. So George will give an overview of the entire building and the project, keeping it brief, recognizing that if you have any questions, but I believe most of the people here are in support of the project.
You have two for information.
Okay. George, it's all you.
Go ahead.
Thank you, John. Good evening, everyone. You might be familiar with some of our projects that speak to our approach to this project, Red River College being one of them, where we look at the urban context and analyze the typology of the building, the sense of vitality in the area, before placing a building within the urban context as an object. The question here is, what's the character of Osborne Village? Is the interior or exterior front stair consistent with the character of Osborne Village, which is stated in the secondary plan? Osborne Village to us is one of the most dynamic and unique and healthy neighborhoods in the city of Winnipeg. You are aware that it won awards in 2008 and 2012 for being one of the best neighborhoods. And the criteria for the awards included having a memorable and unique character and having design or architectural features that are visually interesting and that promote social and economic.
And I think one of the main things was having a neighborhood plan that was really clear about what that was actually one of the things that in 2012, just thought I'd mention.
Yeah, keep going. And so to us, the question is, what is that character? And we believe that it's recognized for its mixed typology, for its creative edge, and it's reflected both in the urban form and in the residents and in the businesses that are in that area. There are a dozen design firms there, our firm being one of them. We've been there since 1997. We're totally invested in it. And so if there was a community that of people that promote innovation, this is it. So let's look at Osborne Village just quickly. So what is the character of Osborne Village? It's mixed. It's very graphic. It's a good mix of commercial, residential, people spaces, spaces where people collect, meet, and greet. A mixture of old and new, the masonry forms, the additions, the touches that have come on that give it its life and character. New businesses and old businesses. And that's the beauty of it to us, is this this wildly new and old and yet sensitive. So you can see this collection of different forms, the house that became a business with these new additions of stairs, the different materials of vinyl siding, wood siding, brick, different colors. What do you choose if you were to choose one of them? Residential development on Stradbrook with exterior front stairs. Some of the newer developments, and you're looking at the Pulse, which is right across the street from 373, which is a good example of modern development with a mix of three different materials, stone masonry, and then the Oz, which is under construction currently. And the soon to be, most of the development recently has been condominiums, whereas originally Osborne was included a lot of apartment buildings. So one of the strongest policies, parts of the policies of the secondary plan is the pedestrian orientation in approach to the building. Promotes activity and connectivity. And so our intention in the design of this building is to design a welcoming and connected building, connected to the street through openness. And I'll just take you through the plan. River Avenue at the bottom of the plan here, the lane, to the north of River Avenue. Here, our main floor plan. Main floor is mainly parking. This is outdoor parking, surrounded by vegetation, screen walls here, and more vegetation. Interior stair at the lane side, exterior stair at the street side on the south. And then three upper plans that are similar with the exterior stair at the street side, and 10 units per floor, 10 small apartment units with balconies on each side, interior stair at the rear. This is a little video that will take you down the street and just show you the form of the building in three dimensions, giving you a view of here the balconies, a gate at the entrance, a seating area right in this area here, bench, address, annunciator panel, and then this open stair, which we are thinking of as a detailed sculptural element. So it's not to be designed as a fire stair. I lived at Banbury Court on Lilac and Macmillan, and it had interior main entrance stairs and exterior stairs all around the building. We, the residents, use the exterior stairs because we love that direct contact with the outdoors. So we see the stair as a place that links people to the street. And we don't distinguish the difference between the stair being exterior or interior, in that both an interior and an exterior stair link the building to the street, and being out at the street as open as it is creates that intense level of connectivity. We're studying the color and the materials, so we're looking at facade materials. Here you can see a colorful application. Thinking about the graffiti that we saw and in Osborne Village and adding a touch of color. I really like this one because it's a kind of a stylized graffiti, but it adds a warmth and a touch of edge to this building. So we believe that the stair is very different. Is it the same? No. It's not the same. But it's innovative, and in through its innovation, it is consistent with the character of the Osborne area. And so I'll just pass it back to John to wrap up. That's summarized.
We talked about the staircase. It's interesting. New Cities Foundation in Paris, France, which promotes and scales urban innovation as a nonprofit, listed their top 17 most beautiful urban staircases in the world earlier today. They're all external. None of them are internal. We've talked a lot about this one issue, but we just want to repeat that the design team had several discussions and ongoing consultation with the planning department. They originally submitted a plan more than, I want to say, 2 months ago that the planner and the planning department was not supportive of. The building was completely redesigned in that entire case. We've incorporated many, many changes that the planning department asked for. We've come down to just this one area of disagreement in terms of the staircases. So we want to thank the planning department for their support all along and all their innovative ideas and the collaboration. We like to continue working with them in collaboration and coming up with something that might be visualization or animation for the front of the building. As a matter of good faith, we understand there's plan approval. We've already submitted and paid for a plan approval application so we can continue on that communication and be at the community committee as early as next month to talk about the design of the building. So we're asking for, we're supportive of that. We'd like to continue working with the planning department. We're just asking for the external design of the staircase. We feel that fulfills the secondary plan policies of the Osborne Village secondary plan.
So the wording of the report right now is that in substantial conformity to the initial or whatever
yep.
those other plans, and you're okay with that wording?
We're okay with just except for the wording at the back that says, and there's two things getting into the technical detailed report. Clause 2A, 2 says that they want the enclosed staircase on River Avenue, an enclosed and glazed lobby at grade on the river.
I think that's the key issue.
That's the key issue.
Yeah.
And then also, number 3 says that they want an entrance to the internal of the building shall be located at grade on River Avenue.
Yeah.
We're okay with that, but under Manitoba Building Code, we need to have a secondary means of access. I just want to make sure that doesn't preclude the fact that we're required to have a staircase on the back lane as well. We're okay with if there could be wording that modifies that one as well. But the only item that's outstanding is the external. And we'd like to have the open lobby with some animation and streetscaping on the front of it so people can interact and we can break down that barrier between the public and private realm.
What sounds to me is the interpretation from the planning department is that the glazed staircase, the enclosed staircase of a glazed lobby, it's more of a building rather than an open, and that seems to be what the key issue is. This wording goes with what planning is saying. Like, is there some willingness to move to that? Because it's a, that is the issue in terms of what the neighborhood plan says. I mean, it sounds like there's two different interpretations of it. There's yours and the planning department.
Yeah, our interpretation is we'd like to have more animation, this building spill out onto the street, have more connection to the streetscaping, create some liveliness, and that's, as George has indicated on pictures, is
what is also located along River Avenue, Stradbrook, and along Osborne Street. So it's in keeping with the character of the neighborhood. We also recognize and respect that some other different designs of buildings have enclosed their lobbies and enclosed their staircases and have a different design.
Most of the pictures that you showed were on the business strip, like almost all of them were businesses along the Osborne Strip itself. It doesn't look like River and Stradbrook to me, most of what you showed me. So.
There was a couple.
You did show one or two.
The one next to the church.
You know, it's not this wide open, like your pictures don't really look like it to me, what it actually looks like, but
that's River.
Right at Osborne, yeah.
And this is at River and Girard.
There are some with stairs like that.
With a big staircase as well. Yeah. But I wasn't looking for buildings that had stairs. I was just looking at the diversity of buildings and see how this relates to the street, the openness of the little plaza there. And so we do have a little sitting area designed in there. So the building, you're right, the interpretation is very directly, it has to be interior.
I think it's more the sense that you're looking at the parkade and you're not looking at a building right up to the street, you're looking at other things. So I mean, there's different valid interpretations, and I guess that's what we'll have to sort out today. Yeah. So let's leave it at that for now, and there's people for information, there's other people, and you'll have a chance to come back. Okay.
Now, in support, thank you. All right. Now, this is your opportunity to speak in support, if you so wish, unless you've already heard some great comments, so you don't need to. Lauren Hauser, there's the essay. I'm getting glasses one day. You're okay? Matt? You're good? Mike? You're good? All right. Karim, Paul?
I'm fine. I'll put the floor for them at the end.
Nope. You need to go up now. The only people who can speak later on are the applicant who came up to speak. So, I think you're okay. All right. Jasmine, you're okay? All right. Now, anybody else who wishes to speak in support of the application that his name has not been called? Going once, going twice, seeing none, moving on. Anybody who wishes to speak in opposition to the application who has not submitted an application? Seeing none? Seeing none? Okay. For those with information, if you'd like to come up and ask, if you haven't heard your answers, you can come up now and ask your question. Tim Comack and Jonathan Free. Either one wish to speak? Okay, John, you're okay? All right. Now administration will then have a little chance, and then if need be, we'll call the applicant back up.
Perhaps you could elucidate a little on, I do understand that there's a bit of a different interpretation of the neighborhood plan from the planning department and what the applicant is now putting forward. Could you clarify that issue
from
the planner's point of view?
Absolutely. And the plan states a lot more than simply must be similar to other buildings in the neighborhood. There are quite specific policies in terms of what's required under this plan. You know, I'm a fan of modern architecture, but regardless of that, there are a few key policies that need to be complied with. One is that policy that says providing pedestrian access at street level and locating parking, loading, and services at the rear. Now, the site plan, of course, at grade is predominantly parking. Is that at the rear? Well, effectively, the trade-off that the public service has always made on this application and similar applications in this area is that if at least there's an active enclosed space at grade and the parking is behind that, then you've effectively achieved this policy of providing pedestrian access at street level with parking behind. In this case now, part of the site is sort of see-through, and you can kind of see that parking lot is almost a side parking lot. The front entrance is effectively gone, and you have sort of this stairwell on one corner that goes up to individual units. It gets further and further away from that traditional notion of the other buildings in the neighborhood where you have an entrance at the grade, at the sidewalk, and your parking and service activities in the rear. Another policy requires that the building design reinforce activity and vitality at ground level. Now, traditionally, we've always interpreted that to mean that you've got an active space at grade, whether that means dwelling units at grade or at least a lobby space, an interior physical used space at grade. And I guess the applicant is making the case that they've got a bench, an outdoor bench, and that contributes to vitality at grade. We've obviously taken a slightly more conservative interpretation of that policy. Another policy indicates orienting buildings to the street to restore the traditional mature neighborhood character. So this isn't just about maintaining similarity to other buildings in the neighborhood. It's about maintaining the traditional mature neighborhood character. So even using examples like the pulse across the street probably isn't really what these policies are intending. They're intended to kind of work together to convey a certain idea about what kind of infill should be happening along River and Stradbrook in particular. And like I say, we were reasonably satisfied with the original iteration of this, and even that being a flexible interpretation of the policies. But this just moves us that much further away from that expectation.
Do you know why it changed? Like they said, they had something that was supportable, at least, you know, that we're able to say, okay, this is acceptable, and then it changed to something that stretched that too far, according to
which I
kind of agree with.
I mean, we'll have to ask the applicant that. I mean, this
why would they change it when everything was fine? Is it a matter of cost saving? Or
we'll have to find out.
I have to ask the applicant. Mm-hmm. Okay. That was just my question. Okay. That's all. I don't know if they want to come back.
Just one question. I looked at the eye view. I guess, I don't know, it can be done without the lack of policies. Am I correct in assuming that, or seeing about 12 mature trees that will be taken down?
Oh, that would be a good question for the applicant, too. The site plan typically doesn't identify what's happening on the boulevard, but that's certainly a valid question. It would be subject, of course, to forestry approval, but...
Yeah.
You mean that wasn't something that came up in this process? I mean, wouldn't it have...
On the property, so I didn't see anywhere in the application they talked about the trees or enumeration for those trees or any such thing.
Yeah.
So would it be, because it's private, you don't have that policy in place. We're not Vancouver.
They're not public trees that are being removed.
Yeah. No, they're private.
They're private trees. It's still a loss of trees.
Probably after the VOC.
Yeah. But that's okay.
That's right. Private.
Currently, there's houses there, right? That are
two small houses.
Small
there, correct, right?
Houses.
And then half another lot kind of deal.
Yeah.
So it's two lots and a half almost.
And I guess while you also in terms of parking, can you comment a bit on the parking levels or what?
Yeah, there is a small parking variance, but the application is still achieving. I'm just double checking this. I believe they're still achieving, 30 parking stalls instead of 36. So again, a fairly minor parking lot for a neighborhood that's heavily transit serviced and heavily walkable.
So this really is the primary issue here. Is this one issue that otherwise it's hunky dory? Okay.
Call the applicant back up.
Sure.
Come on back up.
Thank you. Just to repeat some of the items the planner said there, this is the only issue. We've worked very closely, actually, the design team, several discussions, completely redesigned the building to achieve as many policies and guidelines and goals and aspirations the planning department had for the design of the building, including there was a concern about a tree in the boulevard in the front. Building was moved and changed to protect that tree and keep it. The Lee Caldwell raised that as an issue. To provide sufficient parking, etc. We submitted plans to show an illustration of what the enclosed staircase would look like, and we looked at it and said, this looks like modern architecture, and we didn't like it. If you look at the other brick buildings that have those staircases at the front enclosed, they were constructed in the 50s. I can't speak for George. I'm not a fan of modern architecture from Mies van der Rohe or Le Corbusier. It really took away the human scale and really isolated people from the buildings, from the surroundings. We're trying to provide some streetscape animation by noise, people looking out, ground floor animation, etc., so that the private and public sphere, there's a little bit more of a bleed between the two. It's not completely isolated one from the other. Well, that's why we decided to go with the more open staircase concept. We're not looking to do a building that was reflecting something from the 50s. We're looking to add, and George is an accomplished architect, to add a new 21st century layer. We're trying to reflect a lot of the building designs and features that are found in the neighborhood. And we feel that the streetscape animation is improved by having an open staircase.
Okay. Can I just ask the question? So you had submitted plans that had been kind of understood as being acceptable within the planner's interpretation. So why would you have changed it now to this plan? It sounded like you had something that everyone would
We submitted to say here's what it would look like, but we never said we agreed to this. We still have an issue with it, and we agreed to come to the hearing and you know, we respect their opinion. I understand they respect ours, and we're looking for the wise wisdom of the community committee to make a decision.
So if the wise wisdom of the community committee is to go back to that original plan, are you prepared to do that in terms of that type of design or something that addresses, you know, that can meet that requirement that the current wording of it, are you prepared to go that far if we don't?
Well, what we're hoping for is to continue on discussion through plan approval. A lot of these design details are more related to plan approval, not so much about the change of zoning to allow the number of dwelling units on it. We're far into what the design and the color of the wall will be. Sure what's the nature of the application here anymore.
The nature of the application is a subdivision and rezoning, and variance, which we're allowing a substantial change to what is two little houses. We're losing trees. We're bringing in density. We're having more parking. We're bringing in something good for our city because we support that notion of increasing the density, and we want to do it within our neighborhood plan, which I support and our planners support and a lot of people supported in its establishment. And one of the main things was that I think Curtis explained it quite clearly. I mean, there are different kinds of architecture that can be very attractive and have their benefits, but I mean, we want entrances on the street. We don't want to look at parking lots. There's a number of reasons why this recommendation, and I mean, I'm not an architect, but I don't want to go head to head with the architect.
We're providing that.
It's not about that. Yeah. It's more about certain issues that were addressed in the original plan.
To that point, about not wanting to look at parking lots. The issue we're talking about it's not going to make a difference at all about the view towards the parking lot, because we're really only talking about whether we enclose this in glass. There's a screen here, there's a wall. And a gate.
And there was going to be a lobby there, built lobby.
The lobby would be the entrance vestibule to the stair, correct? But so that's the issue. It's not the screening of the parking lot. That's resolved, and the city is happy with the design there. So we're only talking about whether that's glass or exterior. Mm-hmm. And the interpretation of whether an entrance at the street means an enclosed interior entrance or this exterior.
Where is the entrance on through the street?
Well, the entrance is right here, and then you go up the stair. And they changed it to an exterior stair because we think it's beautiful. We think that the exterior stair is more interesting from both perspectives.
Okay. No, I think I understand what the issue is now, but.
Okay. Anything else, Jane? Councilor Bassi, sorry? No? All right. The boulevard tree, one.
The tree is existing. It's right here.
And the 10 or 12 other ones, are you seeing any other ones on the property?
They are within they're very close to the old houses that are in there. So any form of construction within this area kills the roots of the trees.
I'll see one day. Okay. Anything else?
Nope.
Seeing none?
Thank you.
All right. Councilor Gervasi on subdivision rezoning.
I move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All in favor, opposed, carried.
I move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All support, opposed, carried.